Welcome aboard the Fourth Watch, sponsored by the good people at the Fair Group, of which I, Ned Scarsbrick, am a volunteer and will be your host for at least some of these podcasts. Why is this called the Fourth Watch? Well, that's a good question. It's because it's based on the 14th chapter of Matthew, where Christ meets his apostles while walking on the water. Well, what does the Fourth Watch have to do with this? Well, during this period, the night was divided into four watches for protection. These watches consisted of 3 hours each. The first watch was from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. The second watch from 9 p.m. to midnight. The third was from midnight to 3 a.m. And the fourth watch was between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So when the Savior appeared during the fourth watch, it was probably when the sun was just coming up. So the scripture reads, 14th chapter of Matthew, starting at verse 22 through 33. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship, and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? And when they came unto the ship, the wind ceased. And when they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. So, like Peter, when we get our focus off of the Savior and on to the winds and the waves and the storms of life, that's when we start to sink. And just like Peter, when he got his focus back on the Savior, he will be there to keep us from drowning. So that's the basic premise of my podcast. Now, who is this Brother Ned person? Well, it just so happens that I got the info on this guy. He was born the 30th of May, 1949, in Tucson, Arizona. Let's see, 1949 to 2013, that makes you old. Yeah, I prefer mature and experienced. So what credentials do you have? Professional credentials? Yeah, professional credentials. Well, I don't have any. My podcasts are designed for standard and average person. You want credentials? There are members of the fair who have more professional credential letters behind their names than I have letters in my name. So if that's what you want, just leave a short message in the reply area, and I'll send you those links. Now, back to who I is. Born in Tucson, Arizona, raised in Southern California, and then when I was out of high school, I joined the Naval Air Reserve at Los Alamitos Naval Air Station in 1968. Now, that was a decision that changed my life, for the good, because through the service, I was introduced to the gospel. I'll give a detailed account of my conversion story on another podcast, so for now, I was baptized on the 1st of September, 1970, in the town of Canto. Canto? Where's that? Vietnam. Oh. Well, on my return to the States, I started my adult life, such as it is. Now let's zip to 2013 in Boise, Idaho. Boise, Idaho? Do they have electricity there? What about running water and indoor plumbing? Yeah, we got all that stuff, just like a regular city. So I'm happily married to the love of my life, Bonnie, and we have a total of 8 children and around 20-some grandchildren. No great-grandkids yet, but that could happen in the next few years. You must be old. Nah, just mature. However, my wife says that I act like I'm 13, which means I'm in trouble. A lot. I've had an interesting church career, secretary to this and that, and counselor to this and that. 70 until the president of the church relieved me in 1987 when they did away with local 70s quorums. Then I did the ward clerk thing for a few years. That was a change. going from a missionary to a bureaucrat. Then that's when they put me on medication. I'm doing the high priest teaching thing now for 2013. I'm also currently trying to get the gospel doctrine teaching job. But the bishop just starts laughing every time I talk to him about it, and he walks away. Well, maybe next year. With a new bishop, perhaps. So that's your basic, Brother Ned. Now on to the podcast. I have several scriptures that are foundation of my work on the fair. 1 Peter 3:15, be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks you a reason for the hope that is within you, with patience and kindness for those you witness to, and reverence and respect for Almighty God. Second scripture is Jude 3, for we should earnestly contend for the faith. Now we can contend for the faith without becoming contentious. We need to stand up for what's right. And last is Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are at war, brothers and sisters, with an enemy who never sleeps, never gets tired, never runs out of gas. Now, in the Book of Mormon, it talks about this thing called the title of liberty, which this enemy is totally against. Alma 46. If you're not familiar with the story, there was a man by the name of Malachiha who wanted to install himself as king. And the people, they don't need this law and freedom and justice stuff. You just put me in. I'll take care of things. Well, when Moroni, the head of the military, he came back into town and he saw what was going on. He said, not on my watch. This is not going to happen. And he tore his cloak and he wrote on it and said, in remembrance of our God, our religion and freedom and our peace, our wives and our children. It is my view that this scripture is the foundation of our freedom in the United States of America. In the Declaration of Independence, we read, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These are rights are given to us by God, not some agency, not some bureau, not some organization, not some company, but they're given to us by God. And there's a word in there, unalienable, which is a $1.50 word we don't use anymore, which essentially means that you can't transfer them. You can't take them from one and give it to another. You can't get them from someone else. They're given to us by God. Now, at the end of the declaration, we often hear the words, we pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Now, this is noble to be sure, but we don't often hear the two phrases just before that. I don't hear them on the radio or see them or listen to them on the TV. I don't ever remember hearing them in school. They are, now if you're paying attention, say amen. For the support of this declaration and with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. It wasn't about them, and they knew it. It was about God's will. They were all in. I'm all in for God and country. Now, there are those who want freedom of religion essentially to mean freedom from religion. You religious wackos, just do your thing and leave the business of this country to those who know better. Well, that's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand up every time for our God, our religion, and freedom, and our peace, our wives, and our children. Just a couple of more things, and I'll close. In the movie Red Tails, which is the story of the Tuskegee Airmen experiment in World War II, blacks were tested to see if they could learn to fly combat aircraft. It was in the days when their kind, meaning blacks, were not as good as our kind, meaning whites. And this foolish item needed to be nipped in the bud. Well, they were wrong. The Tuskegee Airmen did America proud. Now, the line that impressed me was, we don't count our victories by the number of enemy aircraft we shoot down. We count our victories by the number of fathers we send home to their children and the husbands we send home to their wives. They were all in. I once received a phone call from a friend who asked how life was in Boise, Idaho. I replied, well, it's not as nice as Tarawa or Iwo Jima or Guadalcanal, but it's not bad. Tarawa? Iwo Jima? Those are terrible places. Well, not understanding Brother Ned's left-handed sarcasm, I explained to him that many people died in places like Tarawa, Iwo Jima, and Guadalcanal. So wherever we live, in the land of the free, because of the brave, we should make it the best we possibly can, if for no other reason than out of respect for those who gave their todays for our tomorrows. Now, you might think this Brother Ned guy is some right-wing fundamentalist wacko whose only credentials are a lifetime subscription to God and ammo. Well, that's not me. What I'm concerned about is there are places in the world today where neither you or I would be allowed to speak at a religious service because we had not been approved by some government bureau or directorate or agency. There are places in the world today where government officials observe every religious service to make sure nothing is said or done that could be deemed inappropriate or detrimental to the state. And if they hear or see something in their judgment is out of line, they can stop the service, dismiss the people, and take the speaker to a re-education facility, or they're just never seen or heard from again. In token of our freedom, I'll close this podcast with a hymn. A hymn that I cannot sing without tearing up. So I've asked three of my good friends and my lovely wife to sing it for me. They are David Reese, Steve Hatch, Sandra Schmidt, and of course my bunny. It's called Eternal Father, Strong to Save. It's also called the Navy Hymn, which has a special meaning to me, being an ex-Navy man. It retells the stories of those in peril on the seas of life. It also has a direct relationship to the subject of my podcasts. We need to keep our focus on God and His skills and power and understanding and love for us. Now, some podcast hosts and commentators have a special lead-in song or music so you can identify who's broadcasting right off the bat. I've chosen to have a sign-off song instead. I don't really care if you remember who I am. What I do care about is you remembering the Savior and how He should be the focus of our lives every day, at the beginning of every day, just like when He appeared to His apostles during the fourth watch. Until next time, thanks for listening. I appreciate it.